Welcome to Career Conversations. My name is Siobhan Murphy, a careers consultant here in DCU Career Service. Joining me today is Rosie Callan, who is a graduate of the BCL programme from 2014. And she's joining me today to explain what it is actually like to be a trainee solicitor. So first of all, thank you very much for agreeing to participate in this episode, Rosie.
No bother, Siobhan. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
No, it's great. And, it's great to have a little bit of an insider track, into what happens when you go off to be a trainee solicitor, and I suppose that kind of, reach back into kind of what you were doing in law and then around your decision to go forward and build your career in the legal profession. Because, as most people know, and if you don't know, you can go pretty much anywhere with a law Absolutely. Degree. There's so many different directions you can actually go. It's not always that obvious to go straight into the legal profession, although from the outside looking in, you'd be thinking, well, what else would you do? So, Rosie, just maybe tell us a little bit more about your own backstory. Why did you decide to study law in the beginning, and talk us through it?
Sure. So for me, I decided at a very kind of young enough age, I think around 14 or 15, that I wanted to go ahead and study law and pursue a career in law. I was in secondary school. We had to do a subject, social and political education. And so I remember we had a manual, and in that manual, there was a picture of a courtroom, and you had to learn all about the different courts and stuff. So, I found that particularly interesting. And I remember talking to my parents about it, and then there was an opportunity for me when I was in transition year in secondary school to go ahead and do a week's work experience in a law firm. So I did that, and that kind of cemented my decision. I really enjoyed the environment as part of that experience. So that was that. And then I went on ahead and I filled in my CAO application, and I did a lot of research into different courses, and the BCL Law and Society course in DCU was relatively new. It really appealed to me. It was near to where, I live. And so I went ahead, and I was lucky enough to get that. So I started the course in September 2011. At the time, it was a 3-year course. I understand now it's moved on. You have the fantastic opportunity of completing an intro now. So at the time, it was a 3-year course, and I really enjoyed it. I enjoy academics. I enjoy learning. I'm one of those people that enjoy, studying.
You have a lot of big curiosity around particular subjects. And is there anything in particular that, you cast your mind back? Did you get involved in clubs and societies, FLAC or the Law Society or mooting or anything like that?
Yeah, well, I was just a member of the Law Society, but for mooting now for me, I enjoyed it. It was my second year in college. I'm not sure what it's like now, but, you had to complete a moot court module. And at the time, I didn't really have much experience up to that point of, presenting an argument and, the etiquette kind of involved. Mm-hmm. But, it was a brilliant module to develop those skills, those advocacy skills, I suppose. And I'm in the litigation department now at the minute. So those skills, even when I'm making my own applications now before the county registrar or high court judges, those skills, that foundation, I still use today, when I'm doing that. So I got the chance to complete that module, and myself and 6 other students got the opportunity to go ahead and take part in the DCU Grand Moot Court Final. Mr. Justice Hedigan, I believe, judged that competition, and it was a brilliant experience. It was a fantastic opportunity just to present your arguments before an actual judge, and it was great fun. So
was this kind of scary at the time, Rosie, now, or like you sound kind of like it was just a thing we did, but I'm sure
there was a few nerves before, but I remember feeling prepared going in, and that was just with the guidance of the lecturers and all that. So but it was a very nerve-wracking experience, but you're with your team, you're prepared, you've been meeting every week for the past couple of months, so you go in fully prepared. So it was a great experience. My mum and dad attended as well, so it was nice. It was like it's family kind of thing as well, so it was great.
So when you came up into final year, and I suppose you had to beginning to think then, would you pursue a career as a solicitor? Did you contemplate anything else, Rosie, or was it just solicitor yeah. 1, 2, 3 for you?
Yeah, like, well, I thought, you know, I think a lot of law students think about going down, you know, the counsellor route, the barrister route, and going to the King's Inns. So I that did cross my mind. But I suppose, thinking back, like, you know, if you want to be a barrister, you know, you're independent. You know, so I thought about it a lot, but I just went ahead and I studied for my FE1s because I felt like doing those exams was the kind of, not the easier route, but just the better route to take for me. So, and I had that foundation of knowledge from my 3-year degree for sitting my final examinations, the FE1s. I just went ahead and...
Brilliant. Sorry, crossing over you there. But just thinking about the FE1s, because I suppose I'm just thinking about, say, the current final years or those who've just finished up in June of this year with us as well. You know, that, you know, that decision about doing the FE1s and how you roll them out and, you know, and things like that, and how you kind of, do you work alongside them? Do you do them in one belt, you know, and things like that? So there's all fierce amount of decisions to be made around the FE1s. Now, in fairness, Blackhall Clays have changed the process now. But back when you were doing it, you would have had to do it, you would have had to pass 3 in one go anyway. Isn't that right? 3 out of 8 in one go to move on to the next stage.
That's right. Like they're tough enough exams now in their own right. They're different from they're a little bit different from the undergraduate exams in the sense that there's more questions on the paper. But I know from when I was doing it, it wasn't a decision I took really lightly. You know, like I remember going onto the Law Society website and I got my own set of exam papers, so I used that as a basis kind of for my study. But yeah, no, you're right. When I was applying, I had to sit 3 and pass 3. And then that's just something. But I think you can sit them whichever way you want now, which is good. But the way I did them now, I sat 4 and 4.
Brilliant. That worked for you. Yeah. Now, did you work at the time, Rosie, alongside that, or how did you manage?
I did. So I was working part-time at back home, and I was studying as well at the same time, and I was constantly doing interviews for internships up in Dublin, and just applying all the time.
Brilliant. So you were you were studying, you were working part-time, and at the same time you were trying to secure a traineeship then at the same time. Is that it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Just I didn't really waste any time, you know, so that's what I did. And I kind of just wanted to get the FE1s done if I'm honest, because I had heard like a few nightmare stories about them, but I just wanted to get them done. So that's what I did, you know.
Yeah, I think we all hear mixed versions of this. You know, some people said, oh, they're not as bad as you might think. Other people said, yeah, well, they're very different and whatever, you do need to pay attention to them. So I'd say it's somewhere in between is possibly, you know, and it also depends how you feel about exams and, you know, how prepared and how much, you know, whether you're okay to work solo, do you need to do a prep course, or, you know, there's so many, but it's really about understanding how you learn and I suppose tapping into your own motivation around it and see how you can make it work for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's true. Like I studied for myself, just on my own. I didn't do any prep courses or anything like that. And so I suppose they were okay in that sense. I remember, you know, studying for them, the constitutional law and the EU law exams in particular, were quite big. They were quite vast. So I split those up. You know, I sat constitutional law in one sitting and EU law in the other sitting, because the thought of just sitting them in one sitting would just be too much, you know. So it's kind of, obviously, that's just me personally, like, you know, but...
worked for you. So it's really exactly, about really having a good look at the work involved, and I suppose maybe having a bit of a strategy that would best serve you, I suppose, and see how you get on. And of course, none of us like having to repeat exams, but you know, they can be repeated, so people have to remember
it's
that.
Oh yeah, the world. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's true. So bring forward then. So you were looking for a traineeship. So you secured one with Fieldfisher. Is that correct?
Yes, I secured one with Fieldfisher in July 2017. So 3 years ago, I think just over 3 years, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. So now talk us through that whole process there of, you know, being a trainee there in Fieldfisher. What's involved?
Oh yeah, so obviously, you know, FieldFisher, it's a law firm, you know, it's a fast-paced working environment that you would be entering into. But what's brilliant, and I think what sets FieldFisher aside from some other law firms, is the fact that, you know, trainees have an opportunity of completing a number of different rotations, a number of different seats within the firm. And, you know, I suppose the reason for that is so you can decide what areas you enjoy and what areas you're better at, like, you know. So for me, I completed a number of rotations during my time. My first one was in public and regulatory, and then I was in employment, insolvency and restructuring, and now I'm in litigation. So there's a lot there, you know, but it's an excellent way to develop your skills, and that exposure in each department is great.
So can you maybe give us a little bit of insight to each of those departments that you were working, and what was, you know, the nature, without obviously breaking any confidentiality, just in around the nature of what the work of a trainee would be in those circumstances, you know?
Yeah. So in each of those departments, I suppose the first thing is, like, you know, you're working under the supervision of your partner and associate and solicitor. So and you are, you know, you're a valued member of the team and you're fully supported in any work that you do. In public and regulatory, for example, I assisted my partners and my associates for preparing for inquiries, you know, taking witness statements, contacting, you know, witnesses and things like that. And in my employment, when I was in my seat in my employment department, you know, you get to take part in mediations, go down to the Workplace Relations Commission and hearings. And then in insolvency and also litigation, you know, attending the forecourts most days of the week. I've made my own applications before the County Registrar and the Master of the High Court and even in the Court of Appeals. So it's excellent for developing your skills, particularly in insolvency and restructuring and litigation, you know, your advocacy skills and just getting used to, you know, the sound of your own voice and I suppose just presenting your application before a judge. But again, like, you know, you're fully supported in your work and, you know, you're fully embedded within the team from when you start, and you're constantly getting feedback from, you know, your partners and your associates and your solicitors, so you know you're constantly refining your skills.
And how do you mind the feedback, because sometimes feedback can be hard to take as well, Rosie, do you know?
It's
not always golden.
It's not, no, absolutely not. But it can be, it's constructive, you know, so it's up to you to take it and work with the feedback that you have, that you get, you know. You know, it could be you might have drafted, I don't know, like a summons, like, or an affidavit, and you give it to, you know, your partner or your associate to review, and it comes back all red marked. But, you know, you learn from that, you know, and your partner and your solicitor will sit you down and think and say to you, you know, well, you know, you could have put that in that paragraph, or that shouldn't be there, you should take that out. So it's teamwork,
yes.
You know.
Yeah. And I think any of us that draft any documents, you know, it's always useful to, you know, somebody else looking at it. But obviously something in the legal profession, it's critical that you do, you know, so it's one of those things that's part and parcel of everyday life, I'd say there.
Oh, absolutely. And it's something that's actually one of the key things and key skills that I've learned during my time here. If you're getting something back from a partner and you have to review it, I usually get a ruler and just go through each line in each paragraph like a fine tooth comb, you know, because it's a skill that, you know, you just develop as you go on. But you have to be very, very careful.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're thinking about, say, looking back to the final year students now, or anyone at any stage in the law degree, what sort of skills that would you encourage current students, first to final year at the moment, to maybe we start honing a little bit more, you know, because there's a crafting attached to skills, you know, they're hard to learn overnight. So is there anything you'd recommend you might kind of say, a little bit more of attention on that now would be actually quite good?
Well, when you're working in a law firm, you know, you're with a team, so it's a teamwork. So any opportunities you have to work in a team, I'd say go for it and develop those skills. That's very important, just to be able to communicate with other people on your team. Interpersonal skills as well goes along with that. And also, I suppose, advocacy as well. So if you can take part in any MOOC competitions or things like that, just to get used to, you know, presenting as well. I know during my time in DCU, there was quite a lot of teamwork assignments and things like that. So, you know, get fully stuck in there and develop those skills.
What about writing skills? You know, because that's, I suppose, one that is very important, you know?
Yeah. And that's one thing as well, you know, from learning from secondary school, like, you know, English and writing is very important, especially when you're, you know, when you're drafting. So, yeah, definitely. And research as well is key. I remember one of my lecturers telling me that that's difficult to pass the Law and Society course without actually, you know, reading a judgment or even knowing how to find a judgment online is key. So research skills as well is critical. I'd say those are the main ones that I've kind of developed anyway.
Yeah, so they're the kind of ones that if anyone listening might want to pay a little bit more attention or kind of maybe evaluate where they are with it and saying, could I do anything there to work on that just a wee bit more, just as they're progressing through college and set them up as best they can then for the next stage. So you started in 2017 in Field Fisher. So you have the dynamic of, you talked about, say, some of the seats there that you've been on and you're currently in litigation. But you know, the way when you're starting off and whatever, what sort of, like, you know, internal training program, and then we'll talk about, you know, going to Blackhall Place and the Law Society. But maybe just within Field Fisher, you know, how are you supported through that traineeship?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So it's like for the first, you know, when you start, you're introduced to your team, obviously, but, you know, you're fully trained up on you know, our case management system and how that works. And things like that, and then you're absolutely 100% fully supported in any work that you do. You know, you have your partner, your associate, your solicitor. You're working with a team of people, so you know you are considered you're very much a valued member of the team. And there is a recognition within, you know, firm within Field Fisher that, you know, their trainees are the future solicitors. Associates, even partners of the firm. So there is a real commitment and a real investment towards their trainees in terms of their skills. So partners do spend a lot of time with you, talking you through things and letting you know how things work. And I know for me personally, you know, it's never an issue. It's an open plan office for a start, so that's great. So you almost learn by, you know, osmosis, you know, I like listening to your solicitor or your associate or your partner on the phone. So it was net for me, like, you know, it's never an issue going up and just been flagging something to a partner, or, you know, if you're concerned about a piece of work, or, you know, it's welcomed. So you're fully supported in your work and within the team from day one, from when you start with the firm.
So did you have a buddy or a mentor, or how did that work? Or?
I had two, actually.
Oh, good.
I don't
know you. Everyone. Yeah, yeah, actually, well, you need more than one at times for different reasons.
Yeah, I had a couple. So it's great because it's even if, you know, even just finding out the layout of the firm, they can take you around and introduce you to other people and within the wider firm. So it's an excellent, having the buddy is an excellent thing.
Brilliant. And I suppose, is for anybody contemplating a career as a solicitor, what would be, say, you know, the high notes for you, you know, that, you know, share what the goosebumps are for you?
Well, for me personally, I suppose passing my FE1 exams was a big deal for me, because you've heard nightmares about them, so that was a big deal for me. And then just thinking back as well, I suppose making my first application before a High Court judge was an excellent experience, and it was a real highlight for me.
So yeah, you kind of felt you were making progress, like you were starting to make it. Brilliant. There is always a couple of moments like that you kind of feel, I can do this.
Exactly. And that was one of them for me anyway. So it was great. Yeah, it was a great experience. And then attending Blackhall as well is obviously a highlight.
So tell me a bit more about Blackhall Place. And so you go in and block. Obviously, isn't that it? So talk me through that process there, or as it was when you were there. I'm sure they're all online now, but
It is, yeah. So it's an so I suppose first and foremost, the PPC one is held, and I think they're doing a hybrid. You can, there's an option as well to do a hybrid throughout the year. But for me, PPC one September to March, April, every year, and it's great, I suppose, because you get to meet, you know, your colleagues, your future colleagues, future solicitors, you know. But yeah, you do, you do a lot in Blackall in terms of work. Like the crack is obviously great, you know, it's good fun as well. But just going back as well to, you know, the skills from doing the MOOC course and your advocacy skills and things like that. That's kind of a big module within Blackall. You know, you have to do it's an examinable subject where you have to do, I think it's 7 or 8 minute application before, you know, someone who's, you know, pretending to be a judge. So again, going back to those, like that helped me out massive for that part of that of that exam. But I think there's 4 exams in total in PPC1, and they're very different from FE1s or undergraduate exams in the sense that, you know, you're already supposed to know the law, and this and the exams test you on how you advise, you know, your client. So they're all open book as well, which is a bit deceiving. because they're open books doesn't make them any more, you know, easy. And then PPC2 as well, I was the first, and our intake was the first to complete it all online. I know the PPC1ers now, I think half of it is online and half of it is actually down at Blackall. So that was an unusual experience, and I suppose fair play to the Law Society. They pulled it out of the bag, you know, and they really helped us and to ensure that we qualified on time. It was unusual. Everything was online. Everything was Zoom tutorials, Zoom lectures. I don't feel like I missed out on anything, apart from, you know, obviously meeting up with friends, Blackall friends and things like that. But in terms of, you know, knowledge or content of the course, is there anything like that? I didn't feel like I missed out on anything. All the exams or assignments, as it were, were all online as well. So the exam would be released at 10 o'clock in the morning, and you had until 4 p.m. in the afternoon to complete it. So it was more like, you know, an assignment and things like that.
And
so,
how
yeah,
did you find that experience of doing it that way?
I find it more stressful than actually attending the Red Cow Hotel, if I'm honest.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you're sitting there and you feel great, I have 6 hours to do this exam, but and you think, oh sure, look, I'll get it done in 2 or 3 hours, it'd be great. But it wasn't like that at all. I don't know, it was stressful. It was more stressful, but thank God they're done now anyway.
Yeah. So you are fully qualified now, are you?
Not just yet. It'll be, I think, officially on the roll in December.
Brilliant.
So there's a bit of paperwork that I need to do between now and then officially I'll be on the roll in September.
Brilliant.
December.
Yeah. So yeah. Congratulations. That's fantastic, Rosie. You know, because like in fairness, if you only graduated in 2014 and you had to do your FE1s and you had to secure a traineeship, and you actually had to do the traineeship, you know, you're well on target
thanks
there,
much.
You know.
Thanks very much. It's a long enough role, but it's extremely rewarding.
So but you've had a busy road. Do you know, like, you really didn't have time to be thinking about how long it was taking you because you were on it?
Well, this is it. This is it. Yeah, this is true. Yeah, yeah. But it's rewarding you know, not to sound too cliche or whatever, but I love my job and I really enjoy it, you know.
No, that's brilliant. And it's great that when you've got to this stage that, you know, you do really enjoy it as well, you know, and you're getting a good kick out of it. So you're in the litigation department as of now. So
I am.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit more. And it actually, what struck me actually, go back to a very previous point that you made, but I just made a note for myself at it, that you were talking about going around the different departments there, the seats earlier on. And I just kind of noted down the phrase better at. So I suppose is that sometimes when you're in college there could be subjects there that you're doing but that the theory of it mightn't be that good or exciting to you, but the practice you know, the actual law practice associated with it could be way more interesting than you give it credit for. So that's the great thing about doing the seats, really, isn't it? That you do get an opportunity. And of course, the reverse could happen. Something that you were fascinated with in college, the work associated with it mightn't be as to your liking as you would have thought. So can you maybe speak a little bit more about litigation and, you know, why are you finding it so interesting?
Yeah, sure. So litigation, obviously, you know, it's primarily in court work. A lot of it, there's a lot of paperwork as well involved with it, you know, in terms of drafting affidavits or motions, ex-party dockets and things like that. But I enjoy going down to the four courts now and making my own applications. I do get a bit of a buzz out of that. But yeah, so, you know, for me, you know, a typical day with the courts are starting back up now, so it's getting a bit busier now. But for me, you know, a typical day, I would go in and I'd log on and I would check our diary. Everything is on is in our diary. If we have any matters in court, I'd always check, and I'd link in with my team, I'd link in with my senior associate who I work with, and just let her know, okay, well, this is in it. Actually, I probably would have done that the day before, you know, to make sure we are prepared. So I'd go in and I just make sure that, you know, we have counsel briefs and counsel has all their papers and that they know what they're doing. And then it would involve, you know, in ordinary circumstances, well, it would involve, you know, a trip down to the four courts, either myself or, you know, a colleague or a member of the team would go down and attend on counsel in the four courts. And depending on what the matter is, whether it's a motion or, you know, it could be a hearing or anything like that, you could be there for an hour or you could be there for the afternoon. Like it just depends on the court list. So usually, you know, you'd be back at around lunchtime. So then you have to ensure that all, you know, the post-court steps are taken care of, which would mean, you know, if it was an adjourned matter, if the matter was adjourned, just putting that in the diary, contacting the client, for example, letting them know what happened, and then also contacting the other side, perhaps, and just if they weren't in attendance and letting them know what happened. So it's pretty, like, it can be a very busy day, you know, and then in the afternoon, I'd usually always check the diary for, you know, the following day. Or the next day, I make sure that we have everything sorted for those matters that are in court. And then I could be, you know, like I said, drafting affidavits. There'll be a lot of back and forth with the client on that one to make sure that we have all the information to put into the affidavit. Drafting letters to the client, drafting correspondence to solicitors on the other side, making calls to counsel to ensure that, you know, they're fully briefed in any matters that we have coming up, things like that. So it's an extremely busy busy department. It's very fast paced. Litigation is very fast paced, but I think that's what I kind of like about it, you know.
But it sounds like it's kind of, you know, that busy and a lot of coordinating and a lot of talking to people and a lot of making sure everyone has what they need to have and at the right time. So time seems to matter there, doesn't it, really?
It's crucial. Organizational skills are crucial. With the diary is great online, but myself personally, I come in and I just have, you know, I have my diary myself, well, my desk, and I make sure that I have and do up a list of everything that I have on that day, and I tick it off as I go. It's very satisfying, very rewarding.
Oh no, I love the notebook too. Yeah. Well, there's only so much you can do, read screens and stuff. And there's something about the pen to the paper puts it back in the brain better. Can I just ask you now, just a curiosity question myself, I'm just thinking of you down on the four courts and kind of going, she's here and everything. Like, can you do stuff online down there? Like, I mean, how do you manage, you know, like just, you know, if there's a lot of hanging around as well, like can you get it, you know, have your laptop down there doing stuff, or how does it work down there? Or is it a bit messy?
It can be a bit messy. We're lucky enough, Field Fisher, our law firm is located only a couple of minutes away, like 2 minute walk away from the forecourt. So it's great. So if I'm down there and I'm with counsel, you know, and let's say at 10:30 a.m, counsel might go to me, look, this won't be heard until, you know, 2:30 p.m. So I can go back, do a few more bits, and then head on back down in the afternoon. It's great. But if it's messy in the sense that they don't know what way the list is going to go.
Mm.
So it just depends on the list. But but we're lucky enough that, you know, we're a couple of minutes walk away from the office.
And you get your steps in every day then, obviously.
Absolutely, yeah.
You're keeping healthy. Keeping going around the place.
Great exercise.
Yeah, well, it's actually just you think you brought up to life for us there as well, which is important, because sometimes I'd be kind of listening, kind of going, oh, what would you be doing then, and how would you do that, and how does that work?
I know, but you're
used to it now, you're not thinking, how challenging it actually is, but you just get used to everything, don't you?
You do. It's surprising how quick you get used to it and how quick you learn. So
brilliant. Listen, I think we'll finish up today. I think I've learned a lot. I think our listeners will kind of get a little bit of a deeper insight into the life of a trainee and your own personal experience of being a trainee. And also almost all bar the shouting, you know, getting it on at the role. A solicitor, and I suppose hopefully inspire everyone that feels it's a long, hard road ahead. Of course it is. But, you know, all careers are a long, hard road. No path is easy, but that doesn't mean it's not worth traveling on. You just put one step in front of the other and keep
absolutely
at it.
Keep going, and
change your mind and move this way and move left, move right, move center, you know, and
definitely,
and that's all any of us can do. You know, there is unfortunately no magic formula to these things at all, do you know.
No way.
Yeah, so listen, thank you so much for your time. You're very good. Thanks a million, Rosie.
Thanks very much for having me, Siobhan. Thank you.